We are going to turn back and finish John chapter 18 and consider our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into the world, and what He says is the reason for His coming into the world. As you know, He came for more than one reason. So we're going to begin our reading there in John chapter 18. And we're beginning our reading there at verse 28, where we left off. Just a short little distance to the end of the chapter. Let us consider the truth, for He is the truth. And what we read is truth. John 18:28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. That was Pilate's house, his residence, where judgment could be pronounced civilly, uncivilly. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Such strict adherence to the ceremonial law. And yet, they were very glad to commit murder in the breach of the moral law. Isn't that just like man? I'll keep that part of the law, but I don't want the other part. Verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Rather smart aleck words. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. The Lord Jesus had previously said He would be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Referring to the Roman method of execution, crucifixion, the Jewish method of execution was stoning to death. So He would not be stoned. He would be crucified. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Amen. We end our reading there, and we trust that the Lord, in His wonderful grace, would, in His powerful presence, revealed to us the very truth that is set forth so clearly in his word in this place. Pilate was as confused as most people are in the 21st century. It is sad that in the professing evangelical, fundamental churches, and I would include Reformed, that over 90% of the people don't know the truth. And they don't believe the truth. According to all of the elite polling agencies, there is truth decay not only in America, but also around the whole world. The worthless philosophies that are promoted by the liberal media and by public education have contributed to the mindlessness of the late 20th and now the 21st century. The philosophies that have gripped the people not only of our country, but so much of the world are terrible. Think first of the philosophy of skepticism, somewhat old philosophy. It was popularized in the 1700s by a Scotsman by the name of David Hume. He taught that absolute knowledge is impossible. Absolute truth cannot be obtained. One of the young men influenced by his philosophy of skepticism was C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon, as a young man, yielded to the temptation of skepticism. And in his sermon called The Bible, he describes his experience in skepticism. He entertained serious doubts about the Bible. He was not at all sure that he could believe the Bible. He had doubts about Christianity in general. Naturally, that led him to doubting his own existence. And let me give you a personal warning. If you embrace skepticism, it will come around on you. If you doubt God and you doubt His Word, you will eventually doubt your own existence. And that is the open door to suicide. And it is of the devil. Spurgeon said that he sank to the very bottom of the sea of unbelief. He doubted everything. And it was that very extravagance of his doubts that stopped young Spurgeon. He began to wonder if his doubt could be true. And that's what really shocked him. Can my doubts be true? Skepticism is so illogical and it is inconsistent because it would doubt everything but its own true philosophy. Do you see that you are to doubt everything but doubt? The same insanity reigns in the present philosophy of relativism. Its adherents say such things as, oh, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Most relativists believe that relativism is absolutely true and everyone should be relativist. Therein lies its own self-destruction. The relativist stands on the pinnacle of absolute truth and denies absolute truth absolutely. You see? It can't be. It's totally inconsistent with itself. And then the philosophy of postmodernism. Postmodernism is so absolutely pessimistic. It denies the existence of objective truth. You create your own truth. Go make you some. Whatever you want to have as truth, you can make your own truth. Jean Vieth wrote, postmodernism is a worldview that denies all worldviews. Now, what are you going to do with that? I'm not going to live for that. If you got a worldview that denies all worldviews. Okay. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not play with words. He did not mince words. His statements were objective. His statements were absolutely clear. He said in John 18:37, where we have just read, He said that for this cause, or for this purpose, I have come into the world in order that I should witness to the truth. By witnessing the truth, Christ was showing that all that is not the truth is false. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. Did you get that? Don't forget that, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't just bunch it all together, but take what He said. He said, I am the truth. There is that ego in me again, that voice of the eternal, self-existent God. He says, I am truth. And again, when He was praying to the Father in the same gospel, chapter 17, verse 17, He was praying to the Father. He said, Thy word is truth. So Christ, the incarnated, is the incarnated truth. And the Bible is the inscribed or the inscripturated truth by the very hand of God. In verse 38, poor deluded Pilate asked, What is truth? The answer is, even given by secular unbelieving philosophers, the definition of truth, they say, is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Now, truth is actual fact. So Christ, I say, first of all today, is the incarnated truth. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the full and final revelation of God. Ever since Adam fell, mankind has been groping in the darkness of ignorance and error. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Proverbs 4:19. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Sinful mankind, therefore, have devised many flimsy systems of philosophy. And why have men developed this multitude of philosophies? Why? In order to make them feel comfortable and secure in that blindness. And Paul warns in Colossians 2:18, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Empty deception. That's what it is. God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. They have invented all kinds of systems of philosophy to try to justify themselves where they are in their darkness without God. Pilate voiced the perplexity of the multitudes of lost mankind when he asked, What is truth? Truth is not to be found in any of man's vain systems of philosophy. Truth is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the only clue to the maze of human confusion. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Now, what good will it do you if you have mastered any field of science? What good will it do you if you are acquainted with the great events of history? What good will it do you if you know other languages and if you are up to date on all of the political scene? What good will that do you if you end up in everlasting hell? How you would wish then that you had spent more time in your Bible and less time on the internet. Oh, that everyone who hears this today, with your getting, that you would get understanding. Get understanding. That understanding that will cause you to bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the absolute truth. God in His three persons is eternal truth. He is the very source of truth. He is the source of all reality. He is the source of all that exists. Christ came to reveal how sinners pervert the truth. He taught the way of God in truth. Even His enemies admitted that. The truth in Christ shines so brightly and is so fully realized in Him that it speaks to our consciences and exposes the lies that we try to trust in order to justify ourselves. Do you know 1,400 years before that baby was born and placed in that manger, 1,400 years before that, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied as the rock, and He is the one who is without iniquity. He is the God of truth, the one who is absolute truth and without iniquity. Now, you know, there are dozens and dozens of Old Testament prophecies describing things about Christ in His first coming that were prophesied hundreds of years before His coming. And they were all fulfilled perfectly. And you noticed, even as we were reading here, that Christ would die a bloody sacrificial death. That He would be subjected to that awful form of torture. That He would be pouring out His soul unto death for us. We praise God for the truth, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is not only directly stating that He is the truth in John 14:6, but in John 17:17, He testified that God's Word is truth. Truth is not only the incarnate Christ. Truth is also the inscripturate Word, the Bible. Now, Peter saw Christ. And you know how Peter denied Him in this chapter. Peter looked back and, led by the Spirit, later wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I remember in 2 Peter 1, he's describing the mountaintop experience that day when suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity began that resplendent glow, shining brighter than the sun in all of His glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says, I was there with Him in the Holy Mount. And he said, I heard the voice of the excellent glory speaking from heaven to him. But he said, do you realize we have something that is far better today than that experience of being with Him on the Mount? He said, this more sure word of prophecy, 2 Peter 1:19. What does he mean? He means that this word is an unwavering confirmation of the prophetic word. This is more steadfastly established than what is revealed through the eyesight and the hearing of the ear. He's saying that recorded fact is better than sensory perception. Why? Because over the years, our sensory perceptions of things that have happened in the past, it's easy with the passage of time for our sensory perceptions to grow foggy and fuzzy and forgetful. But the inscripturated words of the Bible do not grow fuzzy, foggy, or forgetful. The truth of God's word stands fast forever. Christ is God, and He is the only source and the absolute standard of truth. And yet God has established the truth of His written word to stand eternally. Remember the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8? He says, the grass withereth. We've seen that happen recently with the frost. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And Christ prayed in John 17:17 to the Father, asking Him to sanctify His children through thy word is truth. So what is He saying there? It's very obvious that true holiness can only be measured by that which conforms to the standard of God's holy written word. Men have their ideas, and men have their dreams about a life of holiness and what it consists of. But only God's word can define true holiness. Even secular men define truth as that which corresponds to reality. How wonderful, therefore, it is when we have the experience as the regenerated children of God. Whether we are alone with God or whether we are in a gathering with others of God's people in worship or in the preaching of the word, when that worship conformed to God's word is empowered suddenly by the Holy Spirit and there is a resounding sense of reality in our heart and our heart is saying, amen. That this is the Lord speaking to me. And it's not just a feeling. It is the true witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit. When we have that experience, under the powerful impression of Almighty God, we are assured that we can trust God's Word and the God of the Word. We are persuaded that the Scriptures are true truth and an accurate and sure guide, and we can trust them, the Scriptures, for direction and for encouragement in real life. We agree then with Hebrews 6:18 that it is impossible for God to lie. He is true. He is the very Father of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. The Father and the Holy Spirit are truth. They are the source and the standard of truth. And the Bible, the inspired word of the eternal God, is truth. Four times in the New Testament, the Scriptures are called the word of truth. 2 Corinthians 6:7, Ephesians 1:13, 2 Timothy 2:15, and James 1:18. This is the word of truth. So I wonder today, do you believe Christ because He is the truth? Do you believe the Bible? Do you trust the Bible because it is the truth? It is proven. It has been proven historically by multitudes of fulfilled prophecies. But you know, Pilate, in verse 38, questioned the very existence of truth. And his sad life bore the fruit of his skeptical doubts. He lived in fear of losing his position. Against his own conscience, he gave in to the request of the crowd. He did not heed the advice of his own dear wife, who warned him not to have anything to do with putting Jesus to death. Pilate was in bondage because he did not know the truth. You can almost hear the chains rattling on Pilate's wrist when he asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Christ is the truth. He is the one who came to us to deliver us, to rescue us from the guilt and the slavery of sin. As the one sacrifice for sin forever, Christ brings believing sinners back into favor and back into fellowship with God. And He brings us into the enjoyment of everlasting life. I urge you then to rely upon Christ, who is the truth, to rest upon His Word, which is the absolute truth, and to rest on Christ by faith in His atoning blood that washes away our sin and removes its curse forever. Christ didn't come to promote holiday cheer. Christ didn't come to boost year-end sales. Christ didn't come even to be the central figure in nativity scenes. But thank God, He came to witness to the truth. As He Himself, a member of the Holy Godhead, is the truth. And He came to witness to the truth of the infallible Holy Scriptures. You see what He says there in verse 37. "To this end was I born, and for this cause or purpose came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." I wonder, have you heard His voice? Do you hear His voice, even to the salvation of your soul? Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that Thou hast communicated with us. Thou hast spoken to us by Thy Word, but Lord, not by the naked Scripture only. We thank Thee for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that has birthed us out of darkness into light. We thank Thee, oh Lord, for the communication of life, applying the benefits of the cross work of Jesus to unworthy, hell-deserving sinners. Lord, we pray that Thy voice of truth, the voice of Christ, and the voice of the Holy Scriptures would speak powerfully in our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.